We're going to begin reading in verse number 41, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, we'll begin reading there. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the good old King James Bible, the authorized version, 1611. I thank you for the Word of God, and that's what it is, Father. Father, I just pray now that you'd remove me. I'm just a hunk of sinful flesh, Father, but I just pray that I have the Spirit of God in me this morning, and I pray you just fill me, heat me up this morning, fill me up with the Spirit of God so these people won't be disappointed, so that your Word can go forth, Lord. I know that I don't deserve to be here, but you've called me here, Father. Just work through me in a mighty way today. Father, we pray, we'd encourage the saints of God today. We pray if there be lost souls today, that this would be the very day, the day of salvation, that again they'd be independent from their sin, from the bonds of Satan, from hell, and to have heaven as a home. And it's through the Son of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that everyone can do that. We just pray and we commit these things into thy hands this very day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In our passage this morning, we want to see some things that were characteristic of the early church, which should not only be characteristic of the early church, but should be characteristic of God's people in the church of today. We want to notice in verse number 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly." It says, "And they continued," and then it lists a bunch of things. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then notice again in verse 46, it says, They continued daily doing some things. It lists, and it says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." In other words, what we want to see, the characteristic of the early church that should be characteristic of us today is God's people in the church today, is that they continue. They continue. The title of this morning's message, I'm going to preach a message that says, "To be continued." We're going to look at some things that we should continue in. But the early church was a church that continued. In other words, they kept on keeping on. They did not quit. They were ceaseless. They were constant. They were enduring, they were persistent, they were relentless when it came to the things of God. In other words, they were around-the-clock type of people when it came to the things of God. You could depend on the early church. They continued in the things of God. As the early church and the people of the early church were, so shouldn't we today continue in some of those things and all of those things that are mentioned there. We're not going to look at all of them. But this morning, we're going to look at some of the things that God's people and the church today should continue in. And by no means, the list of things that I'm going to give you is an exhaustive list. This is just some of the things. And then we're going to look down in things that we should continue in as Christians today and as the church today. And then we're going to see the results if we do that. First, number one, we want to notice in verse number 42, one of the things that they continued was, they continued in prayers. They continued in prayers. In prayer. They continued in prayer. As Christians today, you and I are to continue in prayer. And if you go through the scriptures and you read the scriptures over and over and over and over again, there's a preponderance of evidence that you and I, as Christians today, individually and as a church, should continue in prayer as the early church did. First Chronicles Chapter 16, verse 11 says the following. Seek the Lord in his strength, and seek his face continually. Seek his face continually. That's prayer. When you go to God and you are to seek his face continually, you to continue in prayer. In Job chapter 1, verse 5, it tells us that Job rose up early every morning and offered burnt offerings for his children in case they sinned. They had sinned that day. We are told about Job, it says in Job 1, 5, thus Job did continually. He continually offered up these burnt sacrifices. Well, how does that apply to us today? We don't have burnt sacrifices, amen. But I believe as New Testament saints, amen, we don't offer burnt offerings for our children, but I believe the inference is for you and I that we should be praying for our children today. That's wrong with America today. As I preached in Sunday school, as I taught, the family is under attack. We need to be praying for our children in this country today and children all over the world, amen. Why should we be praying for them? That they don't fall into sin, amen. That they don't fall into the snares of the devil. That we raise them the way the Bible wants us to raise them, amen. That they won't fall into sin. That they won't succumb to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe that the pressure is greater upon our young people, our children today, than it was even in our days, amen. Because what's happened in our society today, the restraints that even society had, as we've said over and over again, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, the ungodly act more godly than the godly do today, amen. And what's happened in society, even the restraints that society once had, have been very relaxed and loosened, amen. Then in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, when Jesus gets into a parable about prayer, he begins and he says, men ought always to pray. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, you're to keep praying, don't give up. In your prayer life. Keep going with the prayer, amen. Don't give up your prayer life, amen. Continue on. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give it up. It's very important. And then we see the parable in Luke 18. We see the parable about the judge there and the widow. And it says that the judge said this about the widow. He says, that judge didn't fear God or man, but he said about the widow, I will avenge her, in other words, give her what she wants, unless by her continually coming she weary me. So he knew that that woman, that widow, would continue to come and come and come and bother him about, you know, and get his attention about her need, her request. So he said, I'm going to answer her. I'm going to avenge her unless she continues to do this and wear me out. So what we want to see then, the idea is this. The idea is if we want our prayers answered, we should be continuous in our prayer. In other words, if you want something from you're asking God for something, you're praying about something, don't just pray about it once. Pray about it over and over and over and over again, amen. You know what it says there? It says over there in the Gospel of Matthew, it says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You got to keep continually coming to God with your prayer. You got to continue in prayer for whatever you need, amen. Keep on keeping on. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking, amen. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 17 says simply, pray without ceasing. There's three words in that verse to memorize. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Can we commit that to memory? Pray without ceasing, Christian, to continue in prayer. We ought to continue in prayer just as the early church did, amen. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, just simply in that verse, it says continue in prayer. Romans 12:12 says continuing instant in prayers. Continuing instant in prayer, amen. Over and over and over and over again, the Bible tells us that you and I today, as individuals, as Christians, as a church, ought to continue in prayer. That's the problem with a lot of churches today. We don't continue in prayer, amen. We see the account of our Lord in the Gospel of Luke. It had to say this about him concerning prayer. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went, referring to Jesus, that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Our Savior continued all night in prayer to his father, amen. You know, most the average Christian today has a problem of remaining in prayer for 5 minutes. You know, 5 minutes and it's over with. You know, 5 minutes. But our Savior, praise God, he continued in prayer all night. How important are some of the things to you? Are they that important? If they're that important, can you continue in prayer all night about them? Maybe that's why people aren't getting saved, amen, because you're not continuing prayer over them all night or praying without ceasing, amen. If something is that important to you, amen, you're going to go after it, amen. You see, people, Christians, their jobs are important, their ambitions are important. They go after it. They do everything they do to get it, amen. If something's important to you in your life, amen, if you have a prayer request, you need to continue in prayer all night. You need to get a hold of God, amen. We need to continue in prayer if things are important to you. You know, if we want to see the community of Billerica and the surrounding communities around us, people get saved, we need to pray. We not only need to, we're going out, amen. We're going out. The word's getting out. But you know what else? We got to continue in prayer over those souls, amen. We got to pray over those souls. We have to pray over those loved ones. Continue in prayer over those loved ones, amen. Then we see also in the case of Peter. Peter was cast into prison, amen, in the book of Acts, chapter 12. And we're told that while he was in prison, you know, those outside of prison that he hung with, they prayed without ceasing. They prayed without ceasing about Paul being in prison. And then we saw the angel of the Lord come down, and he smote the guards, and he was out, man. And then when he came to the door, remember Rhoda? Rhoda came to the door. You got a name, Rhoda. Rhoda's in the Bible. Rhoda came to the door and thought it was a spirit. Couldn't believe him. They went back and hey, it's Peter, amen. But they prayed without ceasing. Peter was so important, and they prayed, and God delivered. Amen. You know, the man of God and the people of God need to continue themselves in prayer. I've just got some things about some great men of God in years gone by about their prayer life. A preacher came to John Wesley. And it's rumored, a preacher came to John Wesley and he said this, "It is rumored that you spend 2 hours a day in prayer. Is that true?" Wesley said, "Yes, that is true. From 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock every morning I pray." The preacher said, "Well, I'm just too busy to pray 2 hours a day." Wesley said to him, "Sir, I'm too busy not to pray 2 hours a day. I cannot get done what has to get done without the help and the intervention of God Almighty." Francis Ashbery, an old circuit riding preacher, had pleurisy so bad that he would have to wrap his body, take a stick and twist it so tight that he could stand to ride for 50 or 60 miles, in some cases in great pain. He said this about his prayer life, "I propose to rise at 4 o'clock as often as I can, and spend 2 hours in prayer and meditation." Now, these men probably went to bed about 8 or 9 o'clock, and I realize that you can't go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and get up at 4. But God ought to have the first hours whenever they are for you. Amen. David Brainerd was a man who tottered into the grave at a ripe old age of 29. He died in the house of Jonathan Edwards, and we know that Jonathan Edwards preached, a man who preached that great message, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," and began the Great Awakening in the Northeast. And as David Brennan was dying, Edwards said, "I thank God that in his providence he allowed Brainerd to die in my home that I might hear his prayers and see his compassion and hear his intercession. It affected his life." It affected Jonathan Edwards' life. And then we see, it says, "Have you ever noticed that the people we read about in Christian history were people who knew something about prayer? They had a good work ethic, but they knew something about the discipline of prayer. You read about the lives of great men like Abel Clary, who traveled with Charles Finney." Now, Charles Finney was probably the greatest revivalist who ever lived since the time of the Apostle Paul. Finney said, "On many occasions, my reward most likely will be given to a man by the name of Abel Clary, who would literally pray by the hour and by the day in private. Sometimes that old man would pour out his soul in intercessory prayer for 8 or 10 hours a day, laboring and never even show up at the meeting. But the mighty power of God would fall. Christian, today, just like the early church, you and I, number one, you and I as a church and as individuals need to continue in prayer. So number one, we need to continue in prayer. Number two, we want to see back there in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 47. It says also they continued praising God. Praising God. The early church continued in praising God, and we as Christians should do the same today. You and I need to continue to praise, be praising God. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Psalm 34:1. Psalm 71:6 says, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. So we see then the Psalms tell us that God, the praise of God should be continually in our mouth. Amen. And our praise should be continually praise about him and not us. Most Christians today, unfortunately, the praise of God is the last thing on their mind. Either the Christian today, unfortunately, is praising their self and their own self-achievement, amen, or they're down in the dumps and complaining about their lot in life, amen. But just as those early Christians did, you and I as Christians and as a church, we should be praising God continually, not just once in a while, but we should continually be praising God. The praise of God should be continually in our mouth, and that's the problem. You know why we have problems? Because we don't praise God enough. Because we're continually griping, complaining about a situation in life, or we're continually lifting ourselves up and saying, I did this, and I did this, and praising self. But the praise of God, amen, should be continually in our mouth, amen. Psalm chapter 70, verse 4 says this, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Christian, are you happy that you're saved? Are you happy that you're saved? You know, sometimes you come in the morning, or not just here, or you look at other Christians, they're down in the dumps. If you're happy, are you happy this morning? You should be happy that you're saved. Amen. Are you love being saved and not going to hell? Amen. I am. The Bible says that if you love your salvation, amen, I just read in Psalm 70, verse 4, if you love your salvation and you love being saved, the Bible says, then you should continually let God be magnified, amen. God should be magnified in your life. As John the Baptist said, he, meaning Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. That's what our problem is today. Christians, even preachers, I'll pick on preachers this morning, they're increasing, and Jesus is decreasing. They're creating a large works. There's nothing with having a large work. But with that work no more is the name Jesus Christ connected with. It's Dr. So-and-so's work or evangelist so-and-so work and so forth and so on. If you love your salvation today, Christian, and if we love our salvation collectively today as a church, amen, then the Lord needs to be magnified. His name needs to be praised. His name needs to be uplifted, amen. Let people see the Lord Jesus Christ in you. That's the bottom line on that. That's the bottom line. Christian, in this age of grace, we are also known as priests. Okay? Apostle Peter says a Christian is part of a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. And we're to offer up, not bringing lambs, and, you know, don't bring a lamb here and I cut its throat and I sprinkle all the mercy seat. No, we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And one of these spiritual sacrifices, and I'll preach on this over and over and over again, maybe I'm a broken record, but I'll keep on preaching about it, is found in Hebrews 13:5, one of these spiritual sacrifices. It says, by him, okay, by Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. When's the last time, Christian, that you praised God continually? When's the last time that you praised him? Never mind continually. Praise God. The doxology goes, from whom all blessings flow, amen. Praise God for all those blessings he's given us. You know, we're so much like the unsaved crowd, it isn't funny. We only remember, You know, as soon as God acts and does something for us, we forget about it. He's only as great as the last thing he did for us. We can't go back and remember. We should remember all the blessings from the things that he's given us and praise him for that. Amen. And we should continue as the early church did and the people of God back then. You and I, here individually and again as a church, we not only have to continue in prayer, but we also need to continue in praise of God. Amen. Number three, we want to see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. It says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So number two, we need to continue in prayer. We need to continue in praise. And number three, we need to continue in the place. The place was the temple they continued in one accord, in harmony, in unity, in one spirit. You know, I know, praise God, in this age of grace, dispensation, the church age, the age of grace, that the Holy God, the Holy Ghost, does not dwell in a building, but he dwells inside each and every one of us, because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, praise God. But let me tell you, the Scriptures tells us over and over again that the place that we meet, which is the local New Testament church, and they met in the temple back then, amen. But you and I are to continue in the place. You and I are to come here. It says in 2 Chronicles 24:14, it tells us about God's people. And it says, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually. Okay, so they came in and they offered burnt offerings. Okay, we don't have burnt offerings, but we have tithes and offerings. And a part of being in the place and coming to the church and assembling together is to continually bring your tithes and offerings here, amen, for the support of the local New Testament church, amen. I love it when people are away on vacation or they don't come, they miss a Sunday or whatever it is, and I've preached on this before, they think, well, you know, I'll skip it. I don't have to bring my tithes. You're to continually bring that in. If you can't be here, if you're sick, doesn't mean you miss out tithing or bringing your offering. You bring it in and you double up on the next Sunday, amen. And I love these stingy, some people are so stingy, man, they tithe to the penny, amen. You know, in other words, I'm going to just give them 10%, and it comes out to $40.54, amen. Why don't you give them 41? Why don't you give them 41, amen? I've seen that, amen. God hasn't been cheap with us. Why be cheap with God, amen? So we're to come continually into the temple or continually into the new local Testament church. We're to continually bring those tithes and offerings, amen, 10%. You know, the greatest way... If you're having financial problems right now, and you think that I'm crazy, and I'm not gonna lean on tithing too much, but you need to preach on it once in a while. If you want to get out of your financial problems, you need to tithe, because God says that He will supply your needs if you tithe. Just prove Him, amen. Try Him out. See if He's a liar. Start tithing 10%. Whatever you get in, 10%. Before the government gets their 10%, give it to God, amen. Do you realize that Abraham, he tithed. He was under grace. Okay, he wasn't born again, but he tithed before the law, amen. He tithed before the law under grace. Then we see they tithed under the law, amen. I mean, it's the least that we can do is tithe here under the age of grace, amen, under the church age, amen. It's not something that I made up to cast upon you to make my pockets rich, amen. It's a Bible thing that God wants you to do is tithe and to bring offering. An offering is anything above the 10%. An offering would be for missions or a special offering for something else, so forth, but we're to bring those continually. We're told in Luke 24:53, we're told that after Jesus was, that's at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, we're told when Jesus was carried up into the air, into the heaven, God's people, it says about God's people, were continually in the temple praising and blessing God, amen. You know, when we continually come into the church, we should be praising and blessing God, as I said. You know what I mean? We come in here. And, don't get me wrong, you know, we can, how you feeling, you know, and so forth. But when you come in here, you should be praising God and blessing God, man. You know, we have a time of praise and thanksgiving here on a Wednesday night, on Sunday night, it's like pulling teeth. You know, to get people to say anything about how God blessed me. God saved me, amen. God saved me. God saved me. Praise God, He saved me. If I get nothing to praise God about, it's my salvation. He saved me. You know, I know we can't see, you know, I tell you. After that hour or so, we were out last week, yesterday, I was really done. I mean, it was hot. And I praise God that I don't have to be in a place that's going to be I don't know how many times harder than it was yesterday. And I praise God for that. I bless God for that. When we come into this, continually come into the house of God and we assemble here, we should not just come in and sit, you know, like a, you know, like a, did you ever go in the woods and you see that toadstool on that log that it's like a mushroom, it's poisonous, and it's just sitting there. It's like a lump on a log. Praise God. We should be praising and blessing God in continually. Continually we should be coming into the house of God. We see Hebrews chapter 10, some of you know where I'm going. Hebrews chapter 10, it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the exhorting of one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That means, unless you're providentially hindered, and I'm not just saying I decide to go take a ride at Winnipesaukee this Sunday, but unless you're sick or something else or whatever it may be, you need to be here. You need to be here continually in the local New Testament church. You need to be here. You know what I'm saying? You need to be here. You need to continually be here if you're going to grow and do anything for the Lord, amen. You need to be here, amen. And it even says, as you see the day approaching, as the Lord, we know each day the Lord's approaching grows closer and closer. Would it be here even more? I mean, you've got it made easy. They were daily in the temple. They were daily in the church. Basically, we're open here Wednesday night for prayer service. Okay. Sunday morning, Sunday night, amen. And that's basically it. Then we go out track passing the nursing home ministry. And then we'll have a special, we'll have a revival or a camp meeting here once a year or something. And those nights here, that's basically it. You got it made. And that's just the minimum. The reason you need to be continually in here is because you're out. The world is more wicked than it was 50 years ago, let me tell you, if you haven't noticed. And you're getting more, you brush up against that world, and you may not think it affects you, amen. You just turn that TV on and see what garbage comes out of there. You know, oh, I only watch the ball games. Well, how about the beer commercials? How about the babes and the beer commercials? Come on, who's kidding what? You know, I preached about this before. How about the milk ads? You know, all of a sudden milk is sexy now. We're supposed to be good for your teeth, amen, the calcium. Now it's, you know, if you drink milk and you'll have a great sex life now. It's unbelievable. Well, that's what the TV is. Well, we need to be continually in here, amen, to get continually cleaned off from that stuff that's been rubbed up against you for all during the week, amen. So we see then that we need to continually be in the place, continually be in the house of God. I know we're the house of God, amen. I don't use it doctrinally, but we need to be here in the local New Testament church and continue in it. So we need to continue in the place, continue in prayer, continue in praise. And number four, we need to continue in the precepts. We need to continue in the precepts. How do I get that? Well, if we turn back there to Acts chapter 2, we see then, and I can, without even flipping there, it says they continued in the doctrine of the apostles there in verse 42. In Acts chapter 2, it says that. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the precepts. They continued in the precepts or in the Word of God is what that's saying. We are told that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the Word of God. So that applies to you and I today. You know what I mean? This thing isn't just a conversation piece, you know, a coffee table book. You know, a lot of us have these books with pictures on them on the coffee table so people come and look at the pictures more than read it. It's not there to collect dust, amen. It's to be open. It's to be used. It's to be worn, amen. When you see the pages sticking together, that means a well-worn Bible, amen. Why? Why are we to be in the Word of God? Why are we to continue the precepts? So you and I won't be ashamed. So you and I won't be ashamed. The Bible tells us, Paul the Apostle told Timothy, he told him this. He said, Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we won't be ashamed. So these cults can't pull a fast one over. So we won't be ashamed. So we know how to rightly divide the word. We know what dispensation it is. We know that there are some verses in the Bible that teach that you can lose your salvation. But hey, it's not for the age of grace, praise God. I can't lose my salvation. so we won't be ashamed. Also, as it says in the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the reason we should continue in the precepts is so we can be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that lies in you, that is in you. So you can tell them about the judgment that's coming. So you can tell them about the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not preached anymore. The second coming of Christ anymore. It's like he's not coming back, amen? You know, we're just down here, going to have a good time, going to die, going to grave, that's hell. You know, there's no annihilation, we're going to be annihilated, there's no torment. So we'll rightly divide the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:44, he said this. He said, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. In verse 91, he says, concerning the servant of God and his relation to God's word, they continue this day according to thine ordinance, for all are thy servants. If you're a servant of God, you say you're a servant of God, you're to be in that word of God over and over and over and over, continuing it, day in and day out. Not just reading it, but as Joshua says in the book of Joshua, meditate in it day and night. Meditate in the word of God day and night. Continually be in it. You know, when you're meditating, it doesn't mean just read it. You take it, and you mull it over in your mind, and you think about it, you let it work in your heart and your mind, and you think, and you run it through, and then God will give you other verses to tie into that. You'll be surprised. If you read that Bible long enough, when you're reading a verse of Scripture or something, God will give you another verse. He'll take you, the Holy Spirit of God will give you another verse. He'll take you to that verse. You'll compare Scripture with Scripture, and you'll go, wow! Or you'll take a type, you'll see a type. You know, you're reading the Bible, you'll see the... We're over there in Genesis, where Abraham and Isaac are up there on Mount Moriah, amen? And he's just about to take the knife and kill his son, sacrifice his son, and no, it doesn't happen. God provided a sacrifice. God provided a sacrifice. Wow, what a picture or a type. That's a picture or type of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the only time you get these things, if you're continually in the Word of God, when things fall into place, where the Old Testament falls into place and makes sense and so forth and so on. But it's not going to happen, Christian, unless you and I are continually in the Word of God. Continually in the Word of God. That's why they chose deacons, you know, back there in the book of Acts. You know, so the apostles there wouldn't have to be running around taking care of the temple needs, the temple needs of the people, amen. So it says so that they could be continually, it says, in prayer. So as a man of God, I'm going to be continually in prayer. Not only you are, but I am especially. It says I should be continually in prayer and ministering of the word. Not only you, but me as a man of God should be continually in the word, so I can minister to you. You know, my main job here is not to win souls. I mean, I should be a soul winner, but it's to feed the sheep, to feed you, so that you can produce other sheep. Amen. And you can't produce other sheep unless you're continually in the Word of God and know what it has for you to say. Amen. You know, what I love is these churches that get down on other churches like ours that preach separation from the things of the world. But that's what the Bible teaches. And just saying, well, they're an unloving, uncaring church because they teach separation. You know, that women shouldn't come through the door dressed up as $3 hookers. Or dressed to get attention, amen. It's in the Word of God, but the problem is, these people are not continually in the Word of God, amen. See, we happen to try to be in here, and I'm not bragging and boasting about us or puffing us up. But I hope that we're here as a church or continued in the Word of God. So we can see these things. So we can see what the Holy Spirit of God is. You know, so they don't have to be regulated. That the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Scripture and show you what separation and a lot of these other things mean. But you have to be continually in the Scriptures to search these things out. So if you claim to be a servant of God, amen, this morning, if you claim to be a servant of God this morning, then it says that you should continue. It says in the psalm, they continue this day according to thine ordinance for all of thy servants. If you claim to be a servant of God out serving the Lord, then you better know what he wants you to do, amen. That just makes sense. I mean, you all have jobs, amen. You all have job descriptions, amen. And in that job description, it's spelled out exactly what you are to do, amen. In that job description. There's no bones about it, amen. And then you have an evaluation, amen, according to that job description, amen. Well, the Christian today, amen, we're going to be judged, not that we're going to lose our salvation, amen. Okay? Because that's already been cast in concrete. Our eternity in heaven is cast in concrete through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're going to be judged upon whether you're going to get some rewards or not. And it's going to be based on what you did in this book, amen. According to this book, amen. So if you're a servant of God, you need to know what that book says. You know? Avoid those that cause division. Mark them. Avoid them. Have nothing to do with them. We're not being, you know, a church that doesn't love people, amen. But that's what the Word of God says. You know, because we need to be continuing the Word of God. We don't need any wolves in here. I don't have any wolf food. I don't know how to feed wolves. All I know how to do is feed sheep, amen. And you'll have these wolves come in and they'll try to pick off the sheep and get a little thing going here and a little thing going over there, amen. We got to continue to be in the Word of God. The Word of God says, also in Psalm 119 and verse 117, we are promised safety. Safety if we continue in his word. Listen to what it says. It says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. There's safety involved in this. There's safety involved in being continually in the word of God. For example, it tells you, don't always be shooting your mouth off. You know, you go over to Proverbs and it talks about how to use that tongue, amen? You know, it even talks about, you know, sometimes if a fool shuts his mouth and doesn't say anything, it's looked upon as that person's a wise man. You know, if we keep our mouth shut, you know, more than we have it open, we're going to be safe. We're not going to get in trouble. A lot of times we blame the devil, you know, we blame the world. We need to blame ourselves more. That's what the Word of God will show you for our problems. We need to blame ourselves more because we get ourselves into trouble because we're not continually in the Word of God, amen. And that tells you how, if you continue in the Word of God, it'll tell you how to be safe, amen. You know, it'll tell you how to be safe. Stay away from sin, amen. Stay away from sin. Don't play with sin, amen. Don't think you're above temptation, amen. It'll keep you safe, this book. It'll keep you safe from committing the sin of adultery. From fooling around on your spouse. But we need to be continually in it. It'll help you to keep your mind clean. But you need to continually be in the Word of God. They were a people that were continually in the Word of God. We see, for example, in Proverbs chapter 6, the young man is instructed to bind them, God's precepts, continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. So the young man is instructed to bind them, God's precepts, continually upon thy heart, and tie them about their neck. They're to be like this. I mean, if I was to take this literally, it's supposed to be like this. You know? You take a look at the world, open up the Word of God, compare it. It says, why? Why is a young man to do that? It says, to keep thee from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. You'll know, in other words, if you're in here, you'll see that young woman there with the red lips. Hey, big boy, you want a good time? I'll show you a good time. Wait a minute. Before I answer your question, let me go in here and look what the Word of God says. I'm sorry, I can't do this. I can't go with you and have a good time, lady. Because I'm continually in the Word of God, and I've got it, I've bind it around my neck. It's continually upon my heart. Negative. See you later. Here's a gospel tract. This is how to get saved. Tell me about it afterwards. See, the reason we're not fleeing from youthful lust is because we're not continuing in the Word of God. That's why we're getting into all kinds of problems and troubles. Is we're not continuing in the Word of God. You know, we continue in that. You know, you can go into most Christian homes and they can tell you what the schedule is in the TV guide for what's going to be on, you know, for prime time. What a pity. But they can't tell you what's in the Word of God, what they're supposed to do. Because they're not continuing. They're not continuing in the right things. They're continuing in the wrong things, amen. You know, they're continuing in the TV guy. They're continuing watching the TV, amen. They're continuing in all the wrong things. Well, the Bible just isn't any fun. I know sometimes it's hard work, you know. If you're, you know, learning stuff is hard work. You've got to spend time at it. If you're serious with God, He'll give you the things. He'll reveal the things. But if He knows that you're not serious with it, if you're not serious with Him, how can you expect God to reveal things to you and I if we don't pick this thing up continually, if we don't pick up the Word of God and we're continuing? You think He's going to reveal something to you, you great godly person, if you pick it up once a month, amen? Come on. How dare you? You have to be continually in the Word of God. I have to be continually in the Word of God, even more than you can, even more than you're supposed to be, because I'm the one feeding you, amen. So it's even, the standard is even higher for me than it is you. You get off easy, amen. That's one of my main things here, is to minister, to pray, and be in the Word of God. So you ought to continue in prayer, and I'm going to be continuing I am too, but even more so than you. And in the precepts, even more so than you. Jesus said this concerning continuing in His precepts. In John 8, chapter 8, verse 31, He said, "If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed." Again, it's the same thing, the same concept. But Jesus even said, you say you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do you know what Jesus wants you to do? He says, "If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed." In other words, He told them, he was leaving them. He was leaving them. You know, He's going to be offered up and crucified and so forth and so on. But He says, if you're truly My disciples, even after I'm gone, you will continue in My word. Not because I'm here, you know. In other words, you ought to continue in the word. Jesus is not here, but you ought to continue in there. And you ought to continue in the word also. When I can't be with you every day, as you know. I'm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Praise God, you wouldn't want me to be with you. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But you're going to be continuing the Word even though we're not here, you know, here at Open Door Baptist Church, opening up the Word of God. You ought to do that on your own. You know, a lot of learning is up to yourself, amen. You know, they blame the parents and they blame the schools and everything else, and blame the schools and the teachers and everything. But a lot of learning of that kid is up to that adult and up to individually to that child. To pick up that book or whatever it may be. And the illustration comes to you and I. It's up to you and I to pick up the Word of God and continue in it and read it and study it and understand what it means. Christian, today, and the church today must continue in the precepts, in the Word of God, and in the WORDSs of God, the words of God. And when we say that, and without apology, when we say the words of God, the Word of God, it's the Authorized Version, 1611, King James Bible, amen, and I'll make an issue of it. Anybody wants to challenge me on it, give me a call. That is the Word of God right now, and it's not going to change, amen, until the Lord takes us home. So we see then some things. I'm going to close here. Because if I don't close here, we're going to continue on in probably another hour or so, and I don't want to do that. And I'm going to continue this message tonight. I have seven things we need to continue in, and I'm going to continue tonight.